August 4th, 2014. And we're doing an open mic tonight. And we were just sharing, I was just sharing, like what it takes to get us to reach more people. And one of the things I've been working on for the past week is upgrading our website and try, you know, what happens is every time I put a website up, and I'd have to learn how to do it because I can't afford to pay someone else, and I almost need to have somebody on call all the time. But every time I put a website up, the website reflects what's going on in the moment and what I can communicate in the moment. And the more you guys have been on these calls and getting it, the better I can communicate and I'm not afraid of, how can I say it? The more I learn what I need to say without getting myself in trouble, okay? Because when I was first having this experience, say, in 2002, and then after a while I said, geez, I think I'm really talking to the Elohim. This is important. Well, how do you make people interested? And, you know, it was 2004, and I asked them the question. I said, how am I supposed to talk? How am I supposed to get this into the world? I don't have a clue. And they said, talk to one person at a time. And they were exactly right. It's like, whatever I put in print, however I try to describe it, for most people, they don't get it. It sounds like it's a new religion. It sounds like it's something to believe in. It sounds like they're going to give up their personal power. And I didn't know how people were going to react and grow to this work. I knew something was there. I didn't know people could feel the Elohim's energy through the work we're doing. I didn't know that. How do you know that? We had to grow into that. And the more that I learn, and the more I can speak from my experience and your experience, the better I get at talking about it. The more real it is, the more people get it, rather than it's just me. Because I'm just like you guys. Not exactly, but somewhat, in the sense that I'm learning all the time. There's no end point to this. If you're in the moment, and you're in the moment with the universe, and the universe is constantly shifting and changing, the world is changing, everything is in motion, and if you're going to be in a flow, you've got to be in the flow of the motion with the universe and with your neighbors and with your wife and with your friends. It's all a flow. It's like nothing is static, except it seems like it is. And then we get stuck into routines because we've frozen ourselves outside of the flow. And so every time we come into a call, it's a new flow, a new moment. And the only reason you guys keep coming back is you're getting that, because these calls are non-linear. And there's energy on the call. And those of you that are feeling the energy, it becomes totally intriguing. And that we had such phenomenal people. Aside from all of you, and some of you are really holding a lot of space. Aside from all of you, we have Carla Ruckert. We have Terry Brown. We have Terry Friedman. And they're all like, you know, kind of advanced souls who are helping to hold the energy for the call. And it's like, pretty soon, I'm going to be on George Norrie again. And I'm going to need you guys. I'm not going to need you, because if you don't show up, you don't show up. But what's going to happen is we're going to have hundreds of new people. And you guys are going to hold the energy. You're going to learn what it is when a bunch of people come on the line. I've had to learn this. People that have been on the calls like Hive will watch this happen. I don't know if Ron has seen it, but some of you have seen it. We get a bunch of new people, and they have huge expectations, and they want instant healings, and they want everything to change right away. And that some of those people are going to keep coming and change their lives because they're coming to these calls. And you guys, who are regulars, are going to be in a position to help hold the energy and even maybe have some conference calls where you just talk to people. You do it and take a position of semi-leadership, because I can't do all that. This is not about focusing on Winfrey. And I do a lot. I'm on these calls all the time. I'm constantly working. Terry is working. And it's like the way this is going to work best is for you guys to realize that you can make a difference. And you need a little courage sometimes. You need to be able to take a step out. And you need to learn, get the wisdom of how to talk to someone who just discovered this for the first time. Some of you can do that. Some of you can already do it. Some of you can learn it. And some of you can support someone who can do it. Do you know, when we have a call, it's like your energy is supporting my energy and Terry's energy. And we've created a safe space and a certain degree of protection because of the way we harmonize and blend our energies. I'm not standing out there like a flag waving in the wind by myself. I don't feel by myself. And it's I kind of think that in the Christ terminology, that this is something like what Jesus created when he walked around with his disciples from town to town, something like it, because that this is like the high-tech version of it over the internet and over the phone lines. And I am not comparing myself to Jesus, because I think Jesus did, I wouldn't even begin to think I could do a job like Jesus did. But the idea of the group energy, and that's one of the things that Terry Friedman, I might have him say something about that. Terry Friedman has talked about that, that Jesus always worked with the group energy, worked with the group energy of, you know, Matthew. He would say, I need your help. I think I'm putting this in my words. I'll let Terry clarify it, since he's on the line tonight, and since it's an open mic. And let me see if I can find Terry Friedman and unmute him. And, I mean, don't forget, this is an extraordinary thing that Terry Friedman says, that Jesus is always with him. Now, I've heard a lot of people say that, and I've never quite understood it, but I believe it was Terry. I mean, in the year that we've known each other and the kinds of things he said, if Jesus is always with him, that means Jesus is watching us right now through Terry's consciousness. And so we are incredibly blessed to have such amazing participants. I heard that, Terry Friedman. Let me see here. Let me open this up. Terry, are you there? Terry Friedman. Now, explain, tell me, you know, I just said things that I don't have the memory of, but you were there. Do you want to share, like, how Jesus worked with group energy when he was traveling?
Well, yeah, one of the ways he did it was to perform miracles. And that's what people expected of him, to do instant healing, to show the how you could expand the fishes and the loaves. And he had a way of bringing that to large numbers. And so he did that to show the power that everyone has within them, the power of Christ within. And with us, there was not only us traveling with him, there were other hanging around as people who contributed a lot, who made the meals. There were times we had quite a few people and we traveled from town to town. So all these people worked as a family and saw that everything got done. Even though it's my job to watch the finances and to be the scribe, which I did. A lot of people had other jobs. They did these well. So everybody worked as a family unit. Even though we're not families in a traditional sense, we were a major family. And we each had a role and a personality that went along with everything that Yeshua was saying. So I think that it's important to see yourself as being in a family situation and work together. No competition. Please don't find competition or don't look for competition or don't look for a devil behind every tree. These are the things that you remind us constantly. So there you go. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, when people become a family, it doesn't mean that they're perfect. In fact, they're not perfect. The thing about a real spiritual family is that you see the imperfections in each other, and you see through them. And there's something magical that happens when there's that unconditional love present, that even though people aren't perfect, they rise to the occasion. And in fact, nobody's perfect. I certainly would be the last person to say that I was perfect. In fact, if I ever hear someone say they're a perfect master, I run the other direction, okay? Because I don't believe it. And Terry Friedman, are you perfect?
Not at all. It's a learning situation, and I'm learning. Every day
right.
I'm learning. And the more challenges you deal with, the stronger you become. And the more wisdom you have after your experiences. So, no, I'm not perfect. Why do you stretch imagination?
Why are you repelled?
And so
you know what? I'm not going to do a whole talk with Terry today. I'm going to say that so we can do a fundraiser at some point and raise some money for Terry because he needs money. And he would do it for nothing right now. But we'll come back to him a little on and off. Through this call, because this I announced it as an open mic, and Brian in Ventura, can you give me a star six? Brian, are you there?
Hi.
There he is. Hey, Brian.
Hi.
Brian is an extraordinary musician, and he comes from a musical family. because we've had email exchange, and he was respecting my music, and then he sent me some of his music. And as let me remember now, was your father in the band that did Louie Louie?
Yeah, yeah, he was. He also started Sun Amplifiers, which is kind of like the sound system of the 60s.
Sun Amplifiers, I remember Sun, yeah.
Yeah.
So some of you may not remember Louie Louie, but it was one of the most classic rock songs, and I think it was before the Beatles, yes?
Yeah, and it was before the Beatles took over.
Yeah, and it was it around the time of Elvis?
A little bit after. It was like 63, 64, somewhere in there.
And I think it went, Louie Louie, doo-doo. I never remember the lyrics.
No one knows them.
You can't understand the lyrics, can you?
No, that actually got taken up about with the FBI and Dave or Hoover. Yeah, that was it.
They censored the lyrics. Is that Morgan?
Yes.
You remember Louie Louie?
I do. Louie Louie, whoa, we gotta go.
Yeah. Right. Okay, well, we remember the We Gotta Go lyrics.
Yeah.
Now, we are looking at Brian's, I told Brian, now, Brian's music is nothing like his father's music, right, Brian?
It was specifically that kind, isn't it? That was, I made it as like sound bits for background media or people using soundtracks and whatnot.
Right.
And
now, what is the best song here of yours to play?
Probably the first one would be, first one might be the easiest one to have access
Lucky
to. It's a little
Lucky,
bit repetitive,
Lucky
but.
Let's see if I can download it and upload it. And, let's see. Save link as, it's not saving it, Brian.
Uh-oh. I made them all as, they're all supposed to be accessible, but,
Yeah, it's what's coming out is it saves as a Chrome HTML document. It's not saving it as a...
Is there a link there for download?
Repost. Oh wait. Download this track. Let me try it. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. It's saving it. Okay.
Hey, cool.
It'll save it. Okay. Now, I don't know. Bucky Balls does not necessarily sound like it's a spiritual title.
You know, we were doing some research at the time, and I had no names for these things, and we were looking into what buckyballs are and how they are structured and blah, 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 and I was like, well, we'll just call it that. So,
okay, now what is a buckyball?
It is kind of looks like a soccer ball, but it's kind of micro-size, and we were wondering if they were, you know, there's a lot of scuttlebutt about them being able to transport things through space, you know, like microbes and stuff like that. And they're very flexible. And so we were kind of trying to figure out if there was any connection with that and how, you know, funguses and diseases and stuff end up here and kind of the proof that there's alien life out there somewhere.
I see. So let me see here. I found... How to do this? Now I got to go into Dropbox. I just downloaded it, and we're going to hear Brian's. Tell people a little bit about what you do musically, since I'm waiting to do this. Okay.
Well, that one is basically a fretless bass, and everything on it is guitar noises with a slight drum track in the background, and it sounds kind of like violins and keyboards and things like that. But it's all guitar work. And it's made to be kind of real smooth and backgroundy sounding for, you know, being able to use. What
did
I like
you,
to do...
Did you record it all yourself? Did you overdub everything?
Yeah, I did. I actually used a looper. Used a Roland looper to get some of the basic tracks, and then I kind of interwove different guitar parts in and out. In a loop. So you'll hear it after, you know, about... It's only, I think, a minute. 2 minutes long or so, but after about a minute, you'll start to recognize the parts.
Okay, I got it uploaded now. You know the reason I'm good at this, Brian, is because when I was a kid, I used to work at TV stations. I was like an engineer, and was doing audio and video. And when I went to college, and I must have had a past life in engineering and in learning in a lifetime where I would master these things. So when I was a kid, I was building transmitters in my bedroom from scratch when I was in high school. And drilling chassis and talking to people all over the world. And then, when I had a commercial radio license, and then I went to college, and I used to go back to Philadelphia for the summer, and I'd work at TV stations. And so that's how I got good at this. Of course, I had like many years of break, and I didn't touch any of this stuff. But I kind of had an aptitude still. And so I had an aptitude to learn how to build websites and do this stuff. So here we go. Here is Bucky Balls from Ian Sundheim. Is that your last name?
Sundholm?
Sundholm.
Like Sundholm.
And what's your website, Brian?
SoundCloud and Reverb Nation. I'm on both of those. If they just typed in my name,
no one's going to find you. That's not enough. You got to make it more simple. You can get a web name like Brian Sun, whatever, and you can forward it to SoundCloud. Do you realize that?
I need to do that. I'll talk to Stefan about that ASAP. That's a great idea.
Here I am. I'm giving you this great exposure, and
I know. I'm like, no.
No one is going to find you. So it's very, very easy to do it. $10 a year, Very cheap, very easy. Pick a name that's easy to remember. Here we go. Well, that's a song that never ends, right?
Well, thank you, Wynn. That was cool.
Wait a second here. Let me unmute everybody. Okay?
All callers are unmuted.
Beautiful music.
Don't do that.
Everybody's unmuted. So, Brian, how long did it take you to record that?
A couple hours.
Not bad. All right. Well, thank you for sharing.
And yeah, thank you very much.
Someday maybe we'll have a website that we can tell you. Look up Brian, okay?
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks for listening. And yeah.
So, Brian, you were a kid when Louie Louie became a big hit, right? Or was it before?
I was 67. So it was out a little before I was.
Before you were born. So you didn't have the opportunity to see your father when he was being a rock star, right? A famous rock star.
Don't remember any of that.
How many of you guys remember Louie Louie?
I do.
Yeah, I do.
The Animal House.
I do.
I do.
He's actually working on a documentary on that.
Whoa, yeah.
He's actually just started working on a documentary on the song and the amps and what was happening at that time in the 60s and some of the crazy stories that went behind the song and all that.
That's cool.
Now, I see another really talented person that's on the line right now who has been supporting and tracking our work now for a long time. So I think one of the first workshops we did in San Diego years ago, Michael Adler. And Michael is an actor. And Michael, are you on?
No. No, I'm just a figment of your imagination.
Okay. Now, am I violating your free will by calling on you?
Too late.
Too late.
That's good.
I just know, because you're an actor, you love to talk about yourself. So, I thought I'd give you a chance. What would you like to share?
Be careful what you ask for.
I still have my mute button working here, but are you on any plays now in San Diego?
Well, actually, I just finished something called Out on a Limb at Scripps Ranch Theater, and it was the theater's program to give new playwrights an ability to see their work put out in front of them in real time in 3D. And so I was in something called Canary Cottage. I played an old Vietnam veteran who...
have a night for the gazebo.
Nice. Good thinking.
Hey, so you got Michael. The mute button out. All right. All right. What can I say?
I didn't mute you.
Okay. Well, I just heard some other stuff. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, some other people.
But
we're just, all the lines are open.
Okay? Oh, good, cool.
And except for the people listening on the internet, they just, you know, you're welcome to call. Hang on. I should tell people the BBS number, because BBS could put somebody in that's listening on the internet. But, Michael?
Yes.
You're on YouTube, right?
Yeah, I probably have a few things out there. We'll see. We just got done also with Shakespeare's Comedy of Errors. And... Okay. So I think some of that will eventually end up on YouTube. I don't think it should be out there just yet, though.
Where did you study?
Right. Where did you study, Michael? Somebody just asked that.
Oh, I played Antipholus of Ephesus. That was a lead. And,
right.
And where did you go to school?
You're not answering the question. Where did you go to school? Where did you learn acting?
Called Life on Planet Earth, folks. I actually got into acting late in life. And it's really, really pretty interesting because there are, if not for the spiritual work that I have done, I don't think I could have stepped into it as easily. If not for the energy work and the energy management that I studied for years with Chris Lamont and the Order of the Ascended Rose, that I don't think that I could have just walked right into this. I learned a few things, and what's amazing about theater, what's amazing about acting is that it's a microcosm. It's a microcosm because you don't see the director and you don't see the stagehands and you don't see the people who made the scenery and who painted the backgrounds and who did this the same way you don't see your guides necessarily or everyone else's or your contractual agreements for you to be on this a plane in this role, in this soul group. You don't see any of that either, you know? So it's kind of interesting, and I think in a way we're all actors.
And we all have a family to back up in that.
I think we have another really talented person on the line, Zoe. I think she's on.
Yep, here
let
I
me
am.
Just see. Okay, yep. Zoe.
Yeah.
Hang on a second. Hang on.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
I heard years ago that some interesting things about there's using acting as a form of metaphysical study. I think it was like some Polish actors that actually, you know, do acting. I don't know what the specifics, but they used acting to advance spiritually. Have you ever heard anything about that?
I think that it can work hand in hand, and certainly the creative energy is important. But, you know, the long and short of it is there's still only a couple of things you got to remember. And one is that everything is energy, and the greatest energy wins. That's pretty much it. And so, you can rehearse something over and over and over and over again. You step in front of an audience, that dynamic has changed like that.
That's right.
And the audience is actually a cast member that you didn't know was there until you step out in front of them. And everything can change. And it does. And being
always,
able to...
Always know the audience.
Well, that's a great way to put it, that they're, that the audience is a cast member. That's really true.
And everything will change. And it's the same thing with life on planet Earth. Everything changes all the time. So is your belief system going to keep you from flexing?
Hey, let's get Zoe to tell people. Marco, let's have Zoe tell people about her book.
Oh,
sure.
Go ahead. Okay. Well, I'm Zoe, and I'm happy to be on with all of you tonight. And I am, at this late date in my life, publishing tons of writing that I've been doing since I was in my early 30s, or maybe a little later than that. I've been wanting to be a writer all my life since I was 4. And I just didn't find the, I really was led to the right place to open me up. I went to, stumbled into classes at Columbia College in their writing department there. They have this very unusual approach to writing, which is share something with improvisational theater. And man, they just opened me up like a zipper, and all these stories came pouring out. So I'm beginning to put them up now on Amazon and Kindle, and we've just put up a novel called The Calling of Mother Adeli, and it's about set in the 1948 outside Chicago in a Catholic girls' boarding school, and it's the story of a young nun who gets a last-minute boarding student, and she can't handle her, and her superiors will not help her.
Right, and it's on Amazon, and it's called?
It's called The Calling of Mother Adeli. That's they use the, instead of saying sister for a nun, they say mother, and her last, the last name, which is Adeli, A-D-E-L-L-I.
A-D-E-L-L-I. So you can look it up and read about Zoe's book. And let me see, is Corella on the line in Canada?
Yeah.
I want to, is Terry Friedman, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Now, Corella shared your book with her mother, who is, what does your mother do? She's a Catholic, right?
Oh, that's Wanda.
That's Wanda? Excuse me. Okay, Wanda, I wanted to, are you on the line, Wanda?
Yeah.
Now, you shared your book with your mother, right? Who's a Catholic.
Yeah, and her sister, she actually, she takes the place of the priest a lot of the time because there's a shortage of priests right now. And she does all the masses and readings and everything, you know, for the Outlook Diocese. Anyway, she says, oh, I can't wait to get his book and everything. And I thought, gee, I guess maybe I should order it for her, too, hey? But that's what the comment was today.
Oh, she hasn't read it yet.
No, her sister, Marguerite, hasn't read it yet. But my mother, she's in the middle of the book.
And what does she say about it?
She thinks it's the best thing she ever read, and she thanks him for writing it.
And so, Terry, that's awesome. That's a regular Catholic, right? She still is religious, right? Is that right, Wanda?
Yeah, she grew up in the middle of Saskatchewan, around the Glenside area of Saskatchewan.
Okay.
And her background is, her background, like her parents and everything, were all Polish and Ukrainian.
Yeah. There's a lot of Ukrainians and Polish. I did my residency in Regina General Hospital in Regina.
Yeah, in Regina. Yeah. What year did you do it?
Let's see. That would have been 78.
Mm.
Oh.
I think it was 68.
Yeah, 68. That sounds better.
And a lot of the people that was employed in the hospital were Ukrainians and Polish. And boy, yeah. Can they cook. I learned to love horse.
Yeah. My maiden name is Gelbert. Albert with a J.
Let me take a moment and give somebody who wouldn't normally speak up if they're willing to. Is there anyone that's kind of shy on the line that has gotten a lot out of our work and loves what we're doing, but comes in and very rarely says anything that would like to share anything of their experience? Going on.
I have.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I have a question.
Go ahead. Who is that?
This is Anna from Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Anna.
And my question is, what was that? The order of the ascending rose. I think it was.
Well, that's something Michael Adler. It was some spiritual group that Michael Adler was involved with in San Diego for a long time. It's not. I don't think it's a very famous group. I don't think so. But he studied under a teacher and got a lot out of it. Is that right, Michael? Anything to add to that?
Well, I don't know what the question was. Or if there is a question.
What was this order of the ascending rose?
Oh, well, just really brief. It was the founder was a man named Chris Lamont, who taught at Berkeley Psychic Institute for, 25 years or something like that. And so basically we learned a lot of things that really, to be quite frank, a lot of folks on this line could learn. In terms of personal energy management, in terms of being grounded, in terms of being in your body, so that when you hang up on a call, you've got something to do with the energy. You know you can ground it. You're not out of body, or you're not you're not gone. Let's put it that way. You're not taking on everything else, everybody else's energy. In other words, you've got to be able to find you.
Yes,
and when you talk about being an actor,
I am present.
You have to be able to find you,
mm-hmm.
and to know what is you and what isn't you. And so, a lot of what we did was energy work. And nobody can teach you energy work from a book, from a lecture, from a radio show. You've got to learn from an example, mm-hmm. because it's all a body experience. Intuition is a body experience, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can learn these things to have the actual experience in your body and know A from B, that's it. It's really simple. Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to tell one from the other. What's you? What isn't you? It's a good start.
Michael, is it something you could teach people in a conference line?
It's something that possibly could be done. I'd be willing to give it a whirl.
Michael, is that what you did with me when I was having the problem when I first moved back to Pennsylvania? You worked with me.
That was so many readings ago.
Yeah, was that what you were doing?
I couldn't tell you for sure that I recall exactly what went on in that reading. But I think what it was getting some clarity and moving other people's energy out of your space. So you could find you and make the decisions according to what's good for you, not what someone else's energy in your space would dominate.
Everybody has to learn how to do the I am presence breath,
mm-hmm.
and do it like before and after, and maybe even during the show. And whenever you get carried away or, something comes up in your ego or your mind takes over, you have to go back into the I am presence first.
We're really quite an amalgamation. And that's really, it's really amazing. We're not just what you think is looking at back at you in the mirror in the morning. We probably spend half of our energy locating ourselves.
You didn't like Michael Jackson's song, huh?
This is Zoe, if I could just say that this is amazing to me because this is exactly the problem in this novel that I've written that this young woman is facing. It's in a time of finding her own way and knowing that the spirit that leads her is the highest spirit, not the orders that she's given by superiors.
And that's really a lot of what's going on in the wake-up these days. We're learning that our government has lied to us, our church has lied to us, our banks have lied to us. And pardon me, I'll get on a rant on these things, you know. But that's part of the wake-up.
Go for the rant.
Yeah, I join in.
Lots of people wake up and they know this and that. And what they do is they close themselves up into a shell. And they close their doors, Matt. They don't want to have anything to do with anybody. They turn into a hermit.
Well,
once you start to expand your consciousness, you really cannot just stop anywhere.
Yeah.
If you try to stop somewhere, you know, what happens is your definition of yourself completely changes. And that sometimes leads people to a dark night of the soul. And where they really have to work stuff out, and it's not easy. People don't want to go there.
You know, one of the things that happens to people, you know, we talk about feeling energy on the line. When you start feeling that energy, it's like you are rising to a higher aspect of yourself. And the good news is it feels really good and you're growing. The bad news is it's like there's a light shining down on all your lower aspects. And
esta área, usted debe marcar el código de área y número de teléfono.
Oh, somebody's Italian lifetime just came up. All right, who was it?
That was somebody shining on one of my old aspects.
That's
my
life.
It's 6:56, and we should be getting off in like 1 minute. Is there anyone that has something burning inside them that they want to share? And we'll just leave the space.
Well, you're not going to like this, but here's what I got to share with Anna. Just remember the 12th man. You got it, Wynn. Go for it. Flow, flow, flow.
Right. Do you know where the 12th man saying came from? Because Saskatchewan Rough Riders went and stuck one extra player out on the field, and they lost the Grey Cup that year.
That's how come Canada never knew how to play hockey or soccer.
That happened in Regina, Saskatchewan a few years ago.
Which is that?
Watch out when you say the word Regina to Dwayne, because his hearing is bad.
No. Are you kidding? No. Okay, I'm. You know what? I'm going to mute myself. I'm going to pound three.
When you begin this process, you know, you run into...
Keep your discernment up. And 6:57, anyone have a 30-second thing they want to share?
Did Jesus use Reiki?
Huh?
Did Jesus use Reiki?
Did Jesus use Reiki? I think Reiki is using Jesus, okay?
Did he use that? Did Jesus use Qigong?
Well, you know what? When you start for therapy,
but he did a lot of amazing things. And frankly, I'm sure that he covered the waterfront pretty good. Everything he did. He used all the tools that he knew, and that was a lot of trust.
Mm-hmm. How many different healing books, Terry, do you have out?
Would you repeat that question, please?
How many healing books do you have that you sell?
How many healing books? All my books are healing. Right now I'm publishing my fourth book. I have three books out. Man and Wife with Jesus, Freedom Through Health, and Ascent the New Earth and Mankind. These are my three books. I'm working on my fourth right now.
And to get them, we can get them to your regular website.
We got
to
get off right now. Send me an email. I'll make sure that I forward it to Terry. And we're going to turn this back to BBS, and you guys were awesome. Thank you for all speaking up and sharing your enthusiasm and your love and your light and your talents with us. And we'll see you on Wednesday
when we ask your questions.